Welcome to the Irish Tech News Podcast, where we will bring you some of the most interesting interviews from the world of tech. Visit irishtechnews.ie and check out all of our podcasts to discover all of the previous episodes. You can also follow us on Twitter at irish_technews and at facebook.com/irishtechnews. Today's podcast is brought to you by Melanie Boylan. Hi, and welcome to the Irish Tech News Podcast. My name is Melanie Boylan, and today I am joined by Xavier Gomez, who is the founder and COO of INVYO, which is a pan-European platform that combines semantic analysis and machine learning to enable all company sizes to create value, leveraging their internal and external data. Thanks for joining us, Xavier.
Thank you, Melanie, to invite me. It's a nice pleasure.
Well, it's been a long time in the planning.
Yes, a long time, but a long time is good also.
Yes. Now, we wanted to get you on just to build a better understanding of what you do in the fintech industry. So give us an idea of your background, please.
Yes. I am a former banker, and during many years, I worked for tier one banks, in particular Credit Suisse, on different top management position between London, Paris, Zurich, and Geneva. I get the chance to have a different position as a head of trading, head of offering, head of investment consulting, mm-hmm. and also a portfolio manager and treasurer of the bank on subsidiary of Credit Suisse, and it was a very interesting period. I was very interested by the future and the future of finance. Mm-hmm. And this is the reason why I decided to create with a few former colleagues my own company on data, because I get the chance to invest in my former position in a mega trend. And the question for me was what will be the next step, the next transition for my sector. This is the reason why I move up more or less in fintech sector of finance, technology, and data, big data, and machine learning, and NLP, natural language processing.
See, I would never put NLP in with big data, but that's just because this field is such a wide variety. So it's so broad, isn't it? It's such a broad sector that you're in. And so how long have you been in business?
How long has
your company been in business?
In fact, we started a long time ago to evaluate, to understand how it works the sector when I was a banker. And when we received the first contract by a company, we have to create the company in 2018.
All right. So I can imagine last year really kind of was a bit of a revelation to the business. So how was the last 12 months, and how have you adapted to COVID-19?
It was very simple to adapt the team and the colleagues, because usually we worked on remote, mm-hmm. At home, on the office. The salaries of INVYO made as a like on that. So the adaptation was very clear. In terms of business, it was a kind of revelation, because some financial institution awakening finally. We have and had a lot of clients in financial institutions, such as banks, insurance company, consulting firms, private equity firms. But as you know, for innovation, it's difficult to convince some big structure or small and middle-sized company with a good traction, because they are old-fashioned mindset. Mm. And the COVID was a trigger, a big trigger, a positive trigger. And they say, hello, wake up now. You need digitalization of your business, of your company. And InVue is there for that. In terms of business intelligence, provide smart data to take a strategic decision in order to move forward.
Yeah. Did you have to help people a lot with this transition, or was your audience already, you know, ready to partake in the transition?
In fact, you have both sides. You have the people, they know what they have to do, but they don't have enough resource to apply their project. And with the COVID, it was a trigger to request resource and to execute this innovation and digitalization program. Mm-hmm. And you have other people more old-fashioned. They say, how can I do now? What is the right company to help me, to support me on that? And could you help me to set up my strategy of innovation? What is the trend? What is my priority? And this is all my pain, all my problem. Could you help me?
Well, you were in a great position to be able to offer that assistance directly.
Exactly. And the big advantage, we set up the technology dedicated, as already mentioned, to financial services. And now we have enough maturity to apply this technology to other economic sectors, sports, gaming, retail, regulation, for example, legal, and so on. This is very interesting. The big part of the business is clearly with financial institution, but now we have a lot of requests from other company outside this sector. It's very interesting. We expected this diversification later, but now this request put under pressure our tech guys, in particular data science, in order to diversify the sector. But when you develop the different algo in one sector, if you do well, you can copy paste and adjust to other sector. This is the idea.
No, I can actually see how that would work. And it's great that, you know, the technology can be moved from different sectors. You mentioned actually in your intro about artificial intelligence and machine learning. So how is artificial intelligence and machine learning impacting the fintech industry right now? And do you think the pandemic, although it, as you say, it was a great trigger for people, do you think maybe we're a year or two ahead because of it?
Yes, of course. I think clearly the COVID accelerates the digitalization via artificial intelligence for one part, because to be honest, we are the beginning of the artificial intelligence development. More to come in coming years in terms of application and research. For the moment, clearly, the using of AI for fintech, it's for regulation, to avoid fraud. During the COVID period, with the machine learning, to execute stupid tasks, in particular time-consuming tasks, in order for the human and to the professional to focus his added value on necessary things, clearly not to validate or send a document paper checking the element of file and so on. Artificial intelligence and machine learning can do that. And at the end of the process, the human come and check. This is good, this is not good, done or not done. This is the utility, of, in particular, of machine learning, when he recognizes the pattern of different or different set with a different data lake. And now you have a lot of banks and integrate that and fintech. It's the beauty of this development at the moment. It's to see how bank and fintech can work together, because fintech push banks in terms of cooperation to accelerate their digitalization, because the problem of banks, they have a IT core banking system from long time, as they don't want to change anything because the cost is huge.
Well, I can imagine.
And, yeah, and you can work with fintech with more agility to say you can do this and that for
it's much cost. More just plugging and play, though, isn't it?
Yes.
It's quite an intrinsic piece of technology.
Exactly. And, sometimes you can see the fintech as a competitor of bank, and other time you see a cooperation. This is the model of co-optition. When I was in MIT in the United States, when I studies fintech in MIT, it was clear with the different professor in terms of trend. And maybe one day you will see a fintech compete with a bank. For the moment, they need more or less a bank to finance, to see what is the pen. But for me, the future of a bank and the finance, this is a fintech solution.
It's interesting you mentioned that, actually, because I didn't appreciate how much of a mindset would be behind the bank people. In maybe they find the AI and machine learning a little intrusive. You know, maybe they're watching us, you know, reporting on us. Do you think that's some of the issue as to why there's been this slow integration?
You put on the table a very interesting point, a challenging point, when you talk about intrusivity. Yes, this is the right word in English, because maybe, as you know, EU, European Union, prepare a lot of new rules about that, about AI and ethics, privacy, and so on. This is clearly a big challenge in terms of business. You have a preparation of AI rules for the B2B at European level, and you will see a lot of things in B2C, and it's tough because you see in real life now the application of a day-to-day life of AI in China, and when the using is a bad using, you see the impact. Now it's a question of ethics and what do you want? We want a problem solving quickly, as when you use Amazon and you need to buy something and to have immediately, or to educate ourselves to take time for some elements. It's a philosophical, I think, subject and issue. AI can resolve it, but at the end of the day, the human being have to decide clearly what they want and how they want to use. This is a problem with the GAFA and so on. And yes, people accept this intrusivity because they have a wonderful customer experience. We can see with Amazon. you need something, you click, two clicks, you have your element, few hours or 1 day or 2 days later. And this is the reason why they are successful before the COVID. And this is the same thing with the AI, with the fintech. People doesn't want to go to the bank in the street. People want, we want to join their banker more or less at any time. But during the COVID, they see the limit with the phone call, with the email, any answer. They need to provide a lot of paper for a simple transfer because you have to respect a lot of regulation rules in order to avoid a fraud and so on. It was tough and not very interesting for client. Client want to pay less, have the agility, and a banker answer to their request and their needs. And maybe, mm-hmm. AI can do that to analyze all these elements and provide this smart data to the banker in order to facilitate the job in day-to-day business and the relation between the final customer and the needs of this customer. Mm. This is my vision, and this is the reason why we create InView, in fact, to help financial institution and professional to be more intelligent. Because usually they use basic data. Mm-hmm. You have day-to-day business, you use as a banker a database, but this database, we didn't provide any information, any trend, any intelligent thing, and InView provide smart data. Mm. With this kind of information provided by InView platform, you can have a call to action, in particular for strategic perspective and to be relevant in terms of services.
Yeah, at the end of the day, what people remember is the experience, isn't it? But unfortunately, what tends to be the sensational news is not how wonderful a product is where it's gone wrong or where there are deficiencies or where there's been a gigantic mistake or something like that. I wonder how InView can change this and try and sensationalize the experience. Is there a way you can do that? Is there a way you can bring forth that?
To be honest, we don't like the sensation because it's a lot of noise. We focus on the request and the pain, the problem solving of the client. Mm. In order for the professional to be more efficient, to have added value in front of this client, and to be more intelligent. In coding, programming, sensation is a kind of noise.
Yes,
it's noisy. So we educate, we program our algorithm to avoid that and to focus on the right information and the good element to take decision. You know, sensations. It's like a social media. It's a it's a trend. You have to take account. But anyway, the noise is not very good to take a good decision. You are very cold on that. Clearly,
it's, at the end of the day, a good customer experience is other people recommending what you do, how you do it, or somebody else who's doing it, and you want to emulate them. And I think you know that's what you're trying to put across.
Yeah, at the end, what we the value proposition of InVue is to provide the information and the elements needed by the client. We push what they need, not what they don't need. For example, when you type an element in Google, if we type, you and I, the same element in Google search, for sure, you and I, we will have the same information. The proposition of InVue, it's to integrate the element requested. And for example, if you work on payment or on Wealthtech, on Neobank, according your mindset, your requests, we integrate, you will not find the same result because you and I, we are different. And the same for our client. BNP Paribas is not a consulting firm or another bank because they don't see the payment with the same view, with the same glasses.
Well, no, they won't. Geographically, if nothing else.
Yes, geographically, but even in it's funny because, you know, when you talk about the same subject with one client, they don't have the same view. This is very interesting. Yeah, this is very interesting for us and very interesting because it's a challenge to adapt our models to the philosophy of the final client. And it's funny because when you see the ranking of the bank and the fintech, every day it changes because this is a kind of competition, emulation. We can provide that now. We sign an agreement in order to be more strong with a GAFA to analyze account and so on. We will be more powerful and so on. And this period is very, very interesting, very fascinating. Because some player has a clear vision, some other are trend followers. And at the end, I think you will see the winner and the loser clearly.
Spoken like a true champion.
I don't know what is a true champion, but anyway, it would be a true champion for someone.
So what impacts and benefits could we see from AI and machine learning in driving innovation? I mean, we're talking about fintech, but innovation is such a wide area. Where could you see the impact?
The impact will be and can be huge on different manners. When you talk about driving an autonomous car in terms of responsibility, when you make an accident, who is responsible? The driver? The software, the algorithm, the programmer of algorithm. It's a huge challenge in terms of responsibility it's a point of for lawyer. In terms of satisfaction of the final product, I'm pretty sure it will be very nice to have this kind of car automatically. You can read, you can do other things during your...
You can have automatic homes these days as well, can't you?
Of course, during your travel. But at the end, for any problems... What is the responsibility? And to be honest, I cannot answer to you as today.
Well, as long as we're not going to be taken over by machines, I'm sure we'll all live quite happily with them.
Yeah, I see the interest of to develop this kind of technology for the needs of human being in to be more comfortable, to save a life in health, to be more efficient in your work, in industry, in day-to-day business, in office, to analyze other files. But when you get an error, a mistake with an impact on the society, on people, on amount, who is responsible?
I think that'll be a podcast all by itself, don't you?
Yeah. You need to invite some philosophers, from lawyer, to answer these kind of questions, and yes, people from tech like me to discuss, to debate, and really honest, as today, I don't know, because again, we are at the beginning of development of this technology in terms of. In terms of research and development, and a lot of things has to coming in few years for sure. Because you see the amount of money put in research and development in USA, in Europe, in Asia, in particular in China. So you will see a result. It's not possible to have nothing. This is the same with the COVID, with the vaccine, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of money has been put on the table to find a vaccine. And in a few, more or less in a few months, apparently we find a different vaccine to tackle COVID-19. But in the past, it make years to... have a final vaccine for any disease.
Yeah, well, in the past, we've had the time to, you know, process and test and analyze. And in some ways, bringing this vaccine through so fast is good. But there will also be areas exactly the same as in tech, where there will be things that haven't been completely ferreted out, issues, you know, sidebars that will happen when you're implementing something fast. But sometimes you have to go through the process to actually see what the outcome is going to be and then manage it from there.
No, clearly, I think to answer more or less your question about self-driving cars or automated transportation. I know for the moment my example will not very good because we cannot fly. But have you flown on an airplane lately? If so, you have already experienced the transportation automation. More or less at work, in particular for pilot. This modern commercial aircraft use a technology named FMS, Flight Management System. A combination of GPS, motion sensors, and computer system to track its position during the flight. So Airbus or Boeing pilots spend just few minutes actually flying the plane manually, and many of those minutes are spent during takeoff and landing. So the leap into self-driving car is also more complicated. So this is
more traffic.
This is the advantage of this kind of technology to facilitate the day-to-day job to the professional, and I think for self-driving it will be the case. There are more cars on the road, obstacles to avoid, and limitation to account for in terms of traffic patterns and rules.
Yep.
Even so, self-driving cars are already a reality, These AI-powered cars have even surpassed human-driven cars in safety. And according different study, and you see, for example, 55 Google vehicle that have driven over 1 million miles altogether. So
wow.
No, for mobility and transportation, it is huge. But again, in terms of error, mistake, what will be the responsibility? And it's a question of microsecond for this kind of technology.
Well, it depends on whether it includes self-learning as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, the self-learning, but what will be the priority? The human being or the intelligence. It's like, I don't like to give this example, but if you know all the series of Terminator movies, at the end the machine decide the human being is dangerous for the Earth. And they decide to resolve the problem to kill all the human being.
But it's not going to happen like that, is it?
For the moment. I'm joking. I'm joking. So the self-learning and so on, you have to make a clear protocol, human and superior of the machine one day. To be very clear with that and resolve the problem, because we can have a dangerous example. Look, I remember an experimentation of Google. They decided with two teams to create different algorithm in order to, with a machine, in order to be more efficient. These two different algorithms decided to create a new language, not controlled by any data engineer and data science, to discuss between the two intelligence entity. But at the end, the specialist human being was lost because they don't understand the language and what they said on the two entity. They stopped the system. You see, it was just a test.
Yeah.
It can be a little bit tricky sometimes when you see this kind of example.
But that's why I think it's important that there is like a universal level of protocols that are attached to AI and machine learning. So that, you know, there is always the paramount safety. And, you know, I know these tools are currently created to prevent fraud and you know, data loss and that sort of stuff. But there will be a point where we'll have to stop and you know, allow these machines to go no further. Do you agree?
Yeah, because if we are not comfortable with the situation, with the result, it's better to stop.
Yeah.
It's better to stop because you don't know what kind of responsibility you take if you go on, what will happen, and a human being doesn't like the uncertainties. It is better to stop. And if you are a late man and so on, but we have to be comfortable at the end.
So I had no idea when we started this podcast we were going to discuss ethics in AI and machine learning. This is great. So how do you see the fintech world evolving as it looks like COVID is probably most likely going to be with us, like you say, until probably autumn? Do you think there's going to be many more advancements in the fintech field whilst this is still ongoing?
Yes. In terms of funding, it's huge. What happened in 2020 and what will happen on 2021 So the expectation is huge. In particular, with a concept, I learned the concept of a co-optition, as explained before from MIT. And now with a different fintech, where when we exchange in terms of strategy, vision, and so on, this is now the time of super apps.
Super apps.
What is a super apps? The super apps. So you start a business, any business more or less is e-commerce or retail. You want to sell something. Mm-hmm. You can be a fintech. You start with one element, payment, wealth management, and so on. And after, you diversify your service. For example, you can provide a service of messagerie and text. Mm-hmm. You can provide a lending, a saving, a transfer of money. Mm. Maybe also integrated some payment solution to buy holidays with a travel. And you know, to complete your services and whole services provided, you stay on the fintech app, and you do all your life on this app.
Hence super app, right?
You know, it's like more or less WeChat in China, and this innovation comes from the East on Asia, not for the first time of United States and Silicon Valley. This is a very, very interesting movement, and I strongly believe for that, because in every business, you can see the emergence of super ad for each business. You can see, for example, British Petroleum when you go to fuel your car, have their own fintech solution to see exactly what kind of fuel you take, what is the frequency, if you need a credit to pay your fuel in order to work. It can be very, very, very powerful.
Mm.
And of course, you can apply it also to real estate. If you look for a rent apartment or buy, sell a flat, if you look for someone to repair something at home and to discuss with him, discuss the contract, to pay him, and so on. It could be very powerful. Very, very powerful.
So it's beyond a CRM, basically.
Beyond the CRM, but at the end, with a function of money finance, because as you know, we need everybody more or less to work, and the money is very important in your life in order to move on. And you put this solution on your main business, mm-hmm. and you can do a lot of things.
You sound very passionate about this super app. I must ask, where do you get your inspiration from?
My inspiration comes from different partners, which I exchange my insight. People like Spiros Margaris, for example, Tim Hughes, sometimes also a big CEO of corporate.
So tech evangelists.
Yes, tech evangelists, some head of innovation and also people, simple people, on different pain on problem solving on day to day.
Yeah.
The different consulting firms on the report and the futurist guys. Sometimes they go so far, but it's very interesting to listen. Mm. And the Singularity University in terms of ideas. Yeah, this kind of people.
Wow. Well, I've got to ask as we round up, how can people find more about yourself personally and about Invio as well?
Yes, you can find Invio on the website, invio.io.
It says Invio.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You can find me on LinkedIn, of course. Also on different social media, Twitter in particularly, with my ID Twitter, Xbone49 or Xavier Gomez, LinkedIn, Twitter, a little bit on Instagram with Xbone95, and yes.
I've got to ask. I'm a Brit. Why X Bond? I'm just thinking immediately of James Bond.
Yes, you're right, because I love James Bond series. When I opened my social media account, I didn't know what kind of ID using. My name was already used.
All right.
So I just opened the account, and during many years, I didn't do anything. It's funny. It's very funny, this story, because I was completely freaked out to make a first post on social media, in particular Twitter and LinkedIn. I think a lot of people laughed at me, and I was very surprised to be followed by people like Jim Marus,
wow,
like Spiros Margaris, and these guys push me on this new universe. Mm-hmm. They support me, they give advice, we share a lot of insight and strategic insight, and I was very impressed by that. And I'm wondering, but yes, why you do that? No, what you post is very interesting. It's completely different what I post. It's another mindset, but you're worth it. Go on.
Yeah, it's interesting that even such as yourself, an influencer, you know, an industry lead, would feel nervous about putting up their first post. So it happens to everyone, doesn't it?
Yeah, but you know, influencer doesn't mean anything for me, because I was a mindset of banker, and it just shares the information with the people. You can accept or not, and that's all. Agree, not agree. Create the debate and discussion. And after I has been ranking in influencer and map with Refinitiv, One Analytica, and so on. It was a surprise for me. I just share some ideas, some point of view. That's all. I don't look for anything. I have my own company and so on. I have enough job in day-to-day business, but
you wait until everybody reads your bio. Oh my lord, you have a lot of thumbs in lots of different pies.
No, thank you. I'm active, guys. But no, it's funny. I discover every day until now social media. It's fascinating because I met a lot of people thanks to this tool. In fact,
and that's how we connected.
Yes, connected. What do you mean?
Through Twitter was how we understood one another and connected with one another as well. So. It's a fabulous tool. It really is a great way to understand people, get their point of view. And that's why you are the industry lead, in fairness, Xavier.
yeah, exactly. And after, thanks to Twitter and the other social media, you can meet people in real life. Yes. When it was possible before COVID, of course, we met on a panel or around the world and on different meeting with big company and so on. Yeah, it was funny, but I'm pretty sure it will come back soon in a few months.
Oh, I hope so. I hope so for all of our sakes. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Xavier. It's been really interesting. What a diverse conversation we've had today. I've really enjoyed listening to your insights. And we very much look forward to speaking to you again sometime in the future.
With pleasure. We can set up some subject if you want some
insight. Might get
insight.
You on that panel.
with pleasure, Melanie.
Okay, well, that's all for now in today's podcast. But do come back very soon as we meet more and more fascinating and interesting influencers. Thank you for listening to the latest Irish Tech News podcast. You can sign up for more at our email digest, which does a weekly summary of all of our podcasts, or you can follow us on your preferred podcast platform, or follow us on Twitter at Irish_Tech News, or Facebook or LinkedIn, or our website, irishtechnews.ie. Thanks for listening.